Lovely. Thank you, David. And shalom, everyone. It is lovely to see you. I am sorry. And let me apologize for the last 3 weeks. There's been a series of things going on. I was ill the first week. The second week, there was something, a one-off event. And then last week, there was another one. So I do apologize. I hope it doesn't happen again. But we are here. We are gathered. And I'm thankful that we pretty much have our usual crowd. I was concerned that some of you may have given up on me. So thank you. And praise the Lord, we're back together again. I was hoping to start tonight where we left off 3 weeks ago. I'm in no rush to hurry on. The Lord, I think, has been speaking to us about the need to just listen. And it's a very simple idea, but boy, do we complicate things sometimes. So I want to start tonight with an invitation to every one of us. An invitation which I believe is of the Lord, is to come and dine with him this evening. That's the invitation. And it's based in Revelation 3, chapter 20, or verse 20, which says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. I will come in to him and will dine with him, and he will dine with me." So that's the invitation to every one of us tonight. And so what we're going to do is we're going to start by just listening. Because as we said last time we were gathered, the Lord really wants to move amongst his people. He really does. We just sometimes don't give him space and room to do so. So we're going to spend this first few minutes listening to him and to listening for his voice. And then our aim is to open the door when we hear his voice. And then allow him to come in and do what he wants to do amongst us this evening. Okay. So my challenge to myself and to all of you is, do you really believe that God wants to move amongst us this evening? Do we really believe it? It's a challenge. But if we take God at his word, he's faithful to perform it. He watches over his word to perform it. And so if we trust and believe what he's saying in this verse, and in other scriptures, of course, then he will act in accordance with his word. So let's just take time. We're going to pause. If you want to turn off your screen, you can. If you want to turn off your volume, you can. And then we will wait. And then we'll come back and we'll listen to what the Lord is saying. So, Father, thank you for this invitation from the Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to make room for you. We want you to do what you have planned to do this evening. We want you to move amongst your people. So teach us how to hear your voice and to open the door. Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, I want to just allow some space now for anyone who feels that perhaps the Lord has said something to them that they want to share, or something is on their heart that they feel impressed to share with us this evening. I just want to just allow some space now. And if there's silence, there's silence. We wait for the Lord. Sometimes we have to wait a bit longer. If he chooses to take some time before he speaks, it's not because he's in any way inhibited. It's because there's a good plan and a good purpose behind it. So we'll just wait and see what the Lord wants to, how he wants to open this up. So if you feel something within yourself, you're being stirred to share something, then please have the courage. Please ask for the courage to share it.
I had a few words.
Yes, Elizabeth.
I want to encourage you all. Sharpen your senses. Hear the pin drop. My voice is a voice of clarity and purpose. It has power beyond your understanding. Open your eyes wider. Enlarge your hearts. I want you to come into the secret place.
Okay, Elizabeth, that sounds like something I want to hear that again, please. If you could just repeat that.
I want to encourage you all. Sharpen your senses. Hear the pin drop. My voice is a voice of clarity and purpose. It has power beyond your understanding. Open your eyes wider. Enlarge your heart. I want you to come into the secret place. And then I ran out of time.
So I'm just furiously scribbling down, so apologies. Hey. Well, Elizabeth, we will give you space to continue to listen to see if the Lord wants to say any more or not. What do you also want to give others time to weigh and test that? So if you have any thoughts about what Elizabeth has just shared, and please feel free to raise your hand and we'll go from there.
Forgive me for arriving late. I liked what Elizabeth said, and one of the senses that, of course, being spiritual creations in Christ, one of the things that we have that the world doesn't have, one of the senses is the sense of discernment. And I think that we need that more and more sharpened as time goes on. Mm-hmm. And I think that we need to sharpen our sense of discernment, discerning the spirits, discerning the times, discerning what it is that our spirit, our other senses are listening to.
It's good, Nigel. Thank you.
Because the Lord can speak to us through anything. And he wants to speak to us through things,
yes,
through creativity, and the Holy Ghost has all the beauty of creation to speak to us through, but also the deceiver will want to try any avenue he possibly can to take us off track.
Yes.
But we know that the Lord's primary way of speaking to us is through the Word.
Yes.
And so, as you've just been encouraging us to do, we need to always just ask that question. Does this contradict the Word in any way whatsoever?
Yeah.
And that's our first question with discernment is, okay, is there anything in this which contradicts the Word? Because if there is, then we know that it's not from the Lord.
Yes. Thank you, brother. It's really, really helpful. Really helpful.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Discernment, I think that's very important. My thoughts when hearing the pin drop, I'm assuming that means that we're so still or so quiet, it's so quiet, or we're so, we've shut out so much of the other noise, perhaps is a better way to put it, that we can hear precisely what God is saying, so much so that if he was to drop a pin, we would hear it, because we're so tuned into what he's doing and saying. It just as I was thinking about that, as you read that, I was thinking back to where we were last time, and we talked about, or maybe it was even the time before, we talked about that my house shall be a house of prayer, and the Lord's been impressing this on me for the last few weeks. Probably now into months. Of, you know, when Jesus quoted that, and we think we said it was from Isaiah. It is from Isaiah, but was it 56? Was it? I can't remember the exact place, but it's Jesus was quoting it. In Matthew's gospel, he quoted it, and obviously the context in which he quoted it was when he went into the temple just a few days before his death, and he whipped people and animals out of there. And he said, my house shall be a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. And what's impressing upon me about that whole thing is the fact that the house, the temple, was to be a place of prayer. And a place where the distractions need to be eliminated. Now, we are in the world. It's not about going to a monastery necessarily, but you can go to quiet places. But I think it's more about, as Nigel is saying, I think it's part of what Nigel is saying as well, is the discernment is that there are so many voices coming at us. And I was talking to my wife, Amy, about this last night. Is the amount of information that we receive now compared to 10, 20 years ago, the volume of information is quite incredible. And so there's so much more potential for different agendas, different voices to be pressing in on us. I'm in full agreement with what my brother has said about the need to be able to discern. Because there's a lot of stuff coming with Christian names on it, Christian sources, so to speak, and I'm concerned about much of it. And we really need, you can just see how in the last days, I mean, if the amount of information we're receiving now and that increases over the next 10 years, whatever it may be, in the last days, I can start to see why there'll be so much deception, so much confusion, because there's going to be so much information, which is some of which is true, some of it is complete lies, some of it is a mixture of truth and lies. And we're going to need to have that gift of discernment. We're going to need to have our senses sharpened to be able to see clearly the path, the right path through all of that. So yes, brother, thank you for sharing that. It's just cementing something I think in my mind about the need for absolute focus on the Lord, on His Word. And I really believe that's what the Lord's calling me towards, deeper into the secret place. Fiona.
Yeah, two things that I focused on with what Elizabeth was saying. One is the fact of hearing a pin drop, and I thought, what does that mean? But then I remembered the phrase, it's so quiet you can hear a pin drop.
Yeah.
And I think it's about being still within, mm-hmm. so that you have the capacity, if you like, to hear that still small voice, because it is often a still small voice.
Yes.
And, you know, excluding all the emotions of, you know, your situation, mm-hmm. and what you might, if maybe's what's that come into our minds when we're thinking about things, it's having that stillness then to hear. But the thing that really, it jarred with me a bit, actually, was where it said, enlarge your hearts. And I thought, that doesn't sit right with me, because we are God's workmanship. And there are things we need to do. And I looked it up on the internet as to enlarge your hearts. And I've actually got, it isn't actually your hearts, it's when God enlarges our hearts. And there's a subtle difference. So it's from Psalm 119, and it says verse 32, but in my One New Man Bible, it's verse 33. And it's the start of Heh, H-E-H. And it says, sorry, I beg your pardon, it's the end of Dalet, the one before, which starts at verse 25. So it is actually verse 32. And it says, I shall run the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. So I just put that into the mix.
Thank you, Fiona. So that was Psalm 119, verse 32.
Verse 32, yes. The whole thing is, starting with verse 25, my inner being cleaves to the dust. Quicken me according to your word. I have declared my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me to understand the way of your commands. So I will talk of your wondrous works. My inner being drops for heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying, and graciously grant me your Torah and your teaching. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. Your judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck to your testimonies, Lord. Do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart.
Thank you.
I don't know if other people have other references for that particular section or whatever, but as I say,
thank you, Fiona. Caroline.
Yes, I was thinking along the same lines as Fiona, that the words enlarge your heart towards me to come into the secret place, that didn't sit comfortably with me either, because I don't think we can enlarge our hearts. I think it is God who enlarges our hearts towards him. But also just happened to, just in the last week, have been looking at the scripture in Song of Songs chapter 2, when it talks about the secret place. And we don't have to enlarge our hearts in order to access that secret place. God is inviting us. It's the Song of Songs 2 verse 14. It's the secret of the stairs. It depends on your translation, but it's the privilege and access into his presence. And it talks about in the cleft of the rock, and because Christ is the rock, because we are in Christ. To me, that last sentence didn't really sound particularly right. Sorry.
Song of Songs. Sorry, the reference again. Song of Songs 2.
14.
14. Thank you.
It says, "Oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the steep pathway, let me see your form, let me hear your voice." Or it could be translated "the secret of the stairs." But the point is that that's his invitation to his beloved, isn't it, to come into that secret place. And we're hidden in the cleft of the rock. We are hidden in the wounds of Christ. We're in the cleft of the rock in Christ.
The secret place.
That is our access. That's
yeah.
I don't think we need to enlarge our heart in order to do that.
I would suggest that the thought is there, if not the actual words, because if you go on in Song of Solomon chapter 5, and I thought of this earlier, but verse 4, "My beloved put his hand by the latch of the door." It's similar. He's knocking. And it's interesting, in Revelation 3, he says he's knocking, but he doesn't say, "If anyone hears my knock, if anyone hears my voice." Mm-hmm. And the bride goes on to say there, "My beloved put his hand by the latch door, and my heart was thrilled for him," or "my heart yearned for him," or "my heart... my heart was moved towards him." And I'm sure there's a reference somewhere that says "enlarge your heart," but I can't think. But I think that's the sense. I might be Elizabeth will correct me if I'm wrong there, but I think this is the sense that our hearts are moved towards him and drawn to him.
Yeah, no, thanks. It's really good to talk about it. I have to say, probably that was the one bit I wasn't quite maybe sure about, and you know, that's good to discuss it all together.
Yeah, thank you.
Can I also say that open your eyes wider as well. I know in the scripture there he says to buy eye salve, your eyes, but the word there is to open our ears to hear, not our eyes to see. Sorry, Elizabeth, I'm being very negative. Sorry,
I mean, I was just writing down what I felt was in my heart.
Yeah. This is a safe place.
I think the eyes and the ears are all part of it, but yeah, obviously the voice is.
I just want to make sure, Elizabeth, you're okay. I hope you're not feeling any condemnation, because what I want Saffron Plant to be is, yes, a place where we can discuss openly, but a place, it's a safe place. You know, we're not saying you've made a mistake. We don't know that yet. I don't think we can arrive at that conclusion, but I just want to make sure that you feel okay, because I don't want to discourage anyone else because I think some of what you've brought is definitely, from my point of view, I believe part of it is definitely from the Lord. So I do want to make sure you aren't discouraged.
No, I don't. Sorry, I'm not the slightest bit.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Offended. I mean, you know, this is a group thing.
Yep.
And we all need each other.
Sure.
And I want to learn. You know. Amen. So you know that's absolutely fine. Yeah. Brilliant.
Thank you for modeling that for us. Thank you. Okay, sorry. So I just wanted to pick up a few threads there. There's a few threads maybe pulled together. So, David, can I just come back to what you were saying first? Because I didn't quite get all of that. I'm busy scribbling stuff down.
That's right.
I'm not keeping up with everyone. So you said Song of Songs 5.
5, right? Verse 4, which is a similar picture. My beloved put his hand by the latch of the door, which is similar to Jesus knocking on the door.
Yep.
My modernized King James says, my heart was thrilled for him.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
So I think, I mean, that's how I would understand enlargement. You know, we are to, we have a responsibility to respond. Yes, the scripture is clear. It's, you know, Jesus is God who enlarges our hearts. But in Isaiah 54, they're told to enlarge the place of their tents. Now, that's a different, that would take us in a different line entirely. but yes, yeah, God enlarges, but we have to respond. We've got to be flexible. You know, we've got to be elastic because our hearts might be filled with all the fullness of God, Ephesians 3, 18, somewhere there. You know, that's
going to
enlarge your heart, isn't it?
there's always a response, isn't there?
Yes.
But the Lord is calling us, and yes, He does the response. He does the enlarging, but He won't do it if we don't respond. There's a tension here that I think we have to hold, because it is the Lord who expands and enlarges, but He doesn't do it by default. You know, we have to respond. There's a response on our part, isn't there? There's something that we have to at least be in agreement. You know, there's something there, isn't there? There's a tension that we have to hold together. But yes, it is the Lord, but he does it when we are someone help me here when we are responding to what he's saying. There's a kind of call and response.
Hosea 10:12, break up your fallow ground.
Yes.
You know, that's our responsibility, which then allows the Lord to rain righteousness on you. Our responsibility is to break up the fallow ground. Look at those areas of the life where he's not involved, where he wants to be involved. Where we're shutting him out effectively, because this door is closed. So are there areas of our life where he's shut out, and he has to open that up to him.
Yeah.
Can I say something?
Sorry, Len, there's a queue.
Oh, sorry, I can't do the queue thing.
I'm sorry, Len, there's a queue. So no. I do want to make sure that we try and
No, of course. Tell me when you're ready. I don't know what you do to get the queue. Sorry.
Yes. If you can find it, there's a little hand somewhere near the bottom of your screen. But don't worry. I'll
on my iPad, it'll be at the top. Under there'll be a button that says reactions. If you touch the screen and get the menu bar at the top, you should have something that says reactions, and then you've got a number of different things you can do: put your hand up, or clap, or put a heart up.
On an iPad, there's three dots, and you click on the three dots.
I've just done it. Raise hand.
Yeah, there you are. You're in the queue. Thanks, Len.
Don't show up. Okay, thank you. Okay.
No problem. We'll come to you in due course. I'm sorry about that.
It's okay.
Linda, we'll go to you first.
Hello. This is probably the least valuable contribution, but earlier on, or was it yesterday, I was reading something from the rabbi of Leicester, so don't discount him just because it's him, but he was asked by somebody, why do we close our eyes when we say the blessing with the candles on Shabbat? And I had no idea. And he said, it's because there's a seeing, which is spiritual seeing, if you like, and we're actually choosing to sort of shut out the stuff around us. That was what he said. And I thought that's quite interesting with the eyes business as well, that we want to see spiritually. That's all.
Thanks, Linda. Len Welcher, please.
In 1 Kings 4:29, it says, and God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart. So again, that was God giving. But if you look at Isaiah 60, verse 5, it says, then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy. I think it was you that was saying that there's something that requires a response on our part sometimes. And from this, the passage we were looking at, Revelation 3:20, a response was required of us, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. And just, and Revelation 3:19, the verse before, obviously, the one that we started with, says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And I think I'm certainly feeling there's something there for me, because how often have I, how often have I really let him in? How often do I really let him in? Really let him in. And I feel there's something that I need to repent of. Being too busy. Being too hard in places. Do I let him in to do everything he wants to do in me? I let him into every area, as David has said, every area. And as I do, he will enlarge my heart. I suppose repentance is in a way of opening the door. Would that be appropriate to say that? We hear his voice. We hear he's saying something to us that perhaps we need to repent of. And we repent, and that opens the door perhaps and allows him to come in. And then our hearts, he enlarges our hearts. Lynn, sorry, just before I move on to Fiona, and this is Lynn Wiltshire, you said 1 Kings, I missed the reference. 1 Kings, that was the first one you came with?
4:29.
4:29, okay. And that was Isaiah.
And Isaiah 60, verse 5. But it's handy to look at, if you're looking at verse 19 in Revelation, to also look at verse 21, which says, to him who overcomes.
Yes.
And that's straight after the door knocking.
That's right. That's right.
I think you're right, Barry, because verse divisions are artificial. Repent is immediately followed by Jesus standing and knocking.
Yeah.
I think you're right, that knocking is repentance. And I was thinking of Romans 2:4, knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance.
Yeah.
It's his grace to be knocking. And
yes. Amen. Amen. Fiona.
I'm just thinking about a theme here, in the sense that I've done a bit more reading of Song of Songs around chapter 5, And also, it does tie in with what Lynn brought in Isaiah 60, verse 5, isn't it? And it's about our hearts. But in the Song of Solomon's, he's talking about the wonders of his garden. And it's to be shared with his beloved, and we are his beloved. And verse 1 says, I have come into my garden, that's the Lord speaking, my sister, my bride. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with the honey, with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved, which is coming and eating with him, you see, in Revelation 20. I sleep, this is the bride saying, I sleep, but my heart is awake. It is the voice of my beloved who knocks, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. And it goes on to talk about other things, but I think it's, again, it's the Lord calling to his people out of love, drawing us to him, if you see what I mean. And there is that parallel in Revelation chapter 3, I think, but also in verse 5, it says, lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather themselves together. They come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be trained at your side. He's talking about Israel coming back to the land. Then you will see and be brightened up, and your heart will tremble with joy and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea will be converted for you. The wealth of nations will come to you. And I think it's about how our heart responds to the Lord. So one is trembling with great anticipation and with joy. That's in Isaiah, when we see these things happening. But also in the Song of Solomon, it's a case of she's saying, I'm asleep, but my heart is awake because I'm anticipating my Lord coming. Does that make any sense?
It does. And I think this is a I think this might be a key point here, Fiona, so thank you for this anticipation. Are we anticipating God to speak to us? Are we anticipating God to come to us? Perhaps in my experience, sometimes I feel I'm going to him. You know, I'm doing all the, you know, it's this self-reliance, perhaps, again, that we talked about last time. This self-reliance where it's all about me listening and me hearing and me coming and me. When in fact, we should just be sitting quietly as this picture is, I think, in Song of Songs 5 or Song of Solomon 5. You know, she's asleep, the picture of the bride, the sister, the beloved, asleep, resting, but yet anticipating his arrival, waiting for, expecting something, not perhaps knowing when, but expecting it. And I think there's something here that we perhaps... Maybe it's just for me, but it's been something that I've been on my heart, is this idea that I need, I'm not sure those are the right words, but thinking about really trusting him to speak, you know, really expecting him to speak, really expecting him to move, really expecting him, not perhaps knowing exactly when, but expectant. I think there's something here.
Definitely is. But it goes on that she's so preoccupied with her own blessings. I've put off my robe, I've washed my feet. You know, she's safely tucked up in bed and doesn't want to get up to answer.
Yes.
So she gets distracted by her own position. But eventually, because her heart is moved, she gets up and goes looking for her beloved. But when she goes, he's gone.
He's gone, yes.
And she has to go chasing him. And then there's that discipline that comes upon her. But you get to the end of the chapter and her description of her beloved, she describes him almost hair by hair, head from head to toe. And she can't say enough. He is almost mouthy. Yeah, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. And then others say, well, where has he gone? We want to find him with you. You know, she's so thrilled with him. But she goes through that sort of almost withdrawal. Yes, she's expecting him. He comes, but oh no. And then she goes, and then, you know, it follows. It's an amazing chapter, this one. And it's very relevant to Revelation 3:20, 19 and 20.
So I'm trying, it's hard for me to try and read while I'm trying to direct all. So is it the case that she doesn't respond at first?
That's right, yeah.
And then when she does respond, he's gone, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
Right.
And you get down to verse 5, I rose up. You know, verse 3, she's saying, I put on my road, how can I get up, you know? But then verse 5, her heart is thrilled in verse 4, and then in verse 5, she rose up to her beloved, and she went to him, but he'd gone. Right. And her soul failed when he spoke. Sought him but could not find him, called him but he gave me no answer. He's drawing her out now, drawing her emotions, her feelings, her love is being drawn out of her, turning her away from her own blessings, her own, the situation she is in. So she's then seeking him with all her heart. So yeah, back to the idea of enlarging the heart. That is enlarging her heart towards him. And in that, with that enlarged heart, she then goes to find him.
Yeah.
But she gets, you know, she gets struck by the watchman of war. They took the veil away from her, you know. And then she encourages others to go looking with her. And they say, well, who is he? And then he describes him. And then they say, well, this is echoes some of the thoughts we came out of the retreat with.
Yeah. This is interesting, isn't it? So the Lord is drawing us, he's calling us. And if we don't respond immediately or at the time he's calling us, well, we may miss an opportunity. Is that what we're saying?
I think that's the sense, yes. So it comes over a number of different men. Hosea, God talks about how he, you know, how he called and brought up Ephraim, for example, and then elsewhere he talks about luring the nation of Israel into the wilderness to draw their affections out to him. And that was my experience would echo that. You know, you feel the sense of God calling, a sense of God on your life, the sense that, but you get preoccupied with something else.
Yes.
And that little bit of distance comes in, but that accentuates and inflames the love more. So you want to go chasing after Jesus more, and that will be at that. And she has to go finding him, and then she eventually finds him.
Yes.
Chapter 6, verse 3, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. You know,
great stuff. Okay, this Lynn Houghton, you've been waiting very patiently. Thank you.
I've just been listening and really enjoying all the little diamonds that have been putting on the velvet cloth, you know.
Yeah.
And it's also like a jigsaw puzzle all coming together. And the things I was going to say are actually the same as what people are sharing. But one of the first thing that struck me was about who enlarges the heart. Is it us or is it the Lord? And I was just thinking as a child or as a person, when you've got a friend coming to the door and you open the door to them, your heart just goes, oh, you know, it kind of leaps open, and then there's the welcome. And I was just thinking how it's a response when we set our hearts to worship. Mm. And then we can underestimate the power of worship. And in the late 70s, when the Holy Spirit was really moving and we used to gather together, we used to sing a song, We Welcome Holy Spirit. Well, we all had the Holy Spirit within us, but as we were together, we wanted some thing of a revelation, a manifestation of the presence of God. And I think this is about having the presence of God, being aware of the presence of God with us. And our hearts are enlarged as a consequence of worship, I believe. I mean, and I think we worship because God opens up something in the Word. So he opens up the Word, he does the job, and our hearts are enlarged. So I was thinking very much of consequence. And one thing on a more practical note that relates to this is I'm finding that a lot of Christians are getting very bogged down by all the erroneous things that are going on in the Christian world, but also in the world. And we can get sucked down into that position of lamenting before God. And I just felt the Lord was saying, I know it all. You don't have to waste your sorrows. You don't have to waste your time telling me all, because you end up moaning. Well, I do. I mean, you end up moaning and going, oh dear, isn't it ever going to get better? The answer is look to the Lord, and he will cause us to so be enlarged to see his purposes and his will being worked out that our confidence grows. I think the Song of Solomon is all about that confidence in the relationship, isn't it? So I want to grow more and more in that confidence. Yes, the Lord is in charge. Yes, the Lord has a plan and purpose, and he's working it out. And that creates such an enlargement, but it creates a security as well and a joy. There's so many side bender consequences, aren't there, of us welcoming him.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Len. Thank you very much for that. I think part of what you started on was touched on by Nigel at the beginning about the need for sharpening the senses of discernment.
Yeah.
Because there's so much information these days, information overload come from different sources and met much of it with Christian labels attached. And we still have to have great discernment in what we're listening to, who we're listening to, and what we're taking on board, because, boy, there's a lot of stuff out there with half-truths in it that can just, it's got enough poison in it to take us off the wrong route.
Well, I think people being bombarded with what's happened in the Synod this last week.
Yes.
And I've been particularly asked lots of questions, and Christians are in a lot of position overthink, and I think it's going to people are going to need to seek God.
Yeah.
Really, really seek God like never before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. Thanks, Lynn. Caroline.
Yes. Just going back a bit to what you were saying about this sort of holding these two things in tension. I was thinking Psalm 27, verse 7 and 8, really explains that very well, because the psalmist is saying, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When thou didst say, seek my face, my heart said to thee, thy face, O Lord, I shall seek. And so, you know, it is God who initiates, and it is us who respond, but it's that way round. Although when you first read it, it feels as if, oh, I'm crying to the Lord, but it isn't. It's the Lord is saying, cry to me, and he initiates this thing, and we respond, and that's a heart response.
Yes. No, thank you, Caroline, for that one. Lovely. Yeah, just my eyes are drawn to the end of that Psalm 27. Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. It comes twice. I think one of the things that we're not so good at, perhaps, generally, again, generalized, not everyone, but generally, is waiting for the Lord to speak. And when we grasp, you know, who he is and his position as mighty God, him, us, his servants, and how quickly. You know, I don't know how it works in palaces around the world, but I can imagine that most servants don't speak until their master has spoken. I can imagine that a servant might not last too long who just always burst in on his master and just kept speaking and speaking and speaking and speaking. How much more the God of this universe? Sorry, go ahead, David.
That's a lesson I'm having to learn. I remember reading it in Tozer years ago, where he says, you know, God always has the priority in his universe. You know, he is the initiator and we are the responder. But there's so much you said about, you know, false teaching. We're taught that worship is something that we do, or faith is down to us. You know, you haven't been healed because you haven't got enough faith, or you've asked for something, you haven't got it because you haven't got enough faith. But both worship and faith are responses.
Yes.
Responses to God. Worship is our response to an almighty, all-loving, omnipotent, magnificent God who's deigned to save us. That's, worship is the response to that. Faith is always in response to God's word.
Yes.
Faith is not me conjuring up some idea and then trying to conjure up enough faith to get it. What has God said? Yes. And when I know what God has said, I can trust it. I can rely on it.
Amen.
God has to be the initiator, and Jesus is initiating it here. The church in Laodicea is so they think they've got everything, they've got it all together, you know. And it's Jesus who is calling to them. It's not that they're seeking him, but he's seeking them. The initiative has to be with God, and our position is to respond.
Amen. And is it true that he's often responding, or he's often calling? He's often trying to initiate, but we're so busy
with
own things that we either don't hear him, as someone said earlier, but that still small voice. Sometimes it's just a still small voice he's calling us with, and we've either drowned it out with other voices, or we're just so busy speaking, praying, speaking our words, and that we're not hearing his voice. Because as you said, David, it's he's knocking, but it says if anyone hears my voice.
Yeah. We need that preoccupation that David had in Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have desired. Yeah. One thing, he was totally focused. But yeah, God said to him, you know, elsewhere he says, open your mouth, enlarge your mouth, and I will fill it. God is always pursuing. He is the pursuing God. And if you it starts in Genesis chapter 3, Adam, where are you?
Yeah.
It runs right through the Bible. It is the distinctive thing about the Bible, about our faith, is that all other faiths are man's search for God. Mm. But the message of the gospel is that it's God's search for man.
Amen. Amen. Great stuff. Fiona.
Yes, Barry, you mentioned about Psalm 27, didn't you? And the last verse, was that right? It says, wait for the Lord.
Yes.
In the One New Man Bible, this spoke to me some time ago. In the One New Man Bible, it doesn't say wait. It actually says hope.
Yes.
Hope in the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart, and you will line up with the Lord. And there's a note at the bottom of the page, which is all about the root kave, which is K-A-V-E, is the word tikva, which is hope. So the word that's used, the root word is tikva, hope, as in the Israeli national anthem. Could there be a different root to the same word? Yes, there is. The Hebrew word kav, K-A-V, which is line, and kave, K-A-V-E, the verb, with the root kav, K-A-V, needs to be translated and line up with. Now, the verse is a formula for finding the courage and strength to be faithful.
that's what, and it's by a rabbi that's made that comment. But I just think it's with waiting, some people just think, oh, we don't do anything.
Yes.
But there's a hope, and it's an active.
Yes.
It's something that's active, and it's hope, and it's like Song of Songs, she's asleep, but her heart is awake. And this is, we may be doing things, but we have a heart that is awake, that is hoping in the Lord. And in that so doing, we can be of good courage. And then he is the one who strengthens our heart.
Yes.
So he makes that heart even more true, if you know what I mean, because we then line up with his heart. And I know from Deuteronomy, I think it's chapter 5, verse 26, where it says, oh, that they had such a heart. And one says to serve me, another version says to love me, that all would be well with them. Mm. You know, and I think God is looking for our hearts, which are true to him and that are waiting for him and expecting him. So that as he knocks, we can open.
Yes.
Because that's our job. We're to open and let him in.
Mm. Yes. Amen.
But it's as we hear his voice.
Yes.
As well as the knocking. We hear his voice first and he's knocking. And it's continuous. It's not something that is, oh, I've knocked, or I'm just going to knock like the beloved did at the door. This is a continuous thing. He's being persistent.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Phil. That's brilliant. The idea of waiting. You're absolutely. Well, I'm complete agreement with you on that. About it's not just sitting around doing nothing. It's hope. In my understanding, is yes, you're waiting for something, but waiting in expectation that it will happen. It's not a wishful thinking, as it were. This is going to happen, but I'm waiting. And I suppose it comes back to this idea for me anyway. It's chiming in with what we talked about just a few minutes ago, which expectant. We're sitting here expectant that he will speak, that he will call, he will come. And we are just waiting in expectation and confidence that it will come. We just don't know perhaps when, but it will. Jeremy, go ahead, Jeremy.
When we expect a little bit too much, we can come back into that self-reliance mode, can't we?
Yes.
So there's always going to be this waiting on the Lord for him. Mm. So many times, so many errors have been made, haven't they, when we've invented something ourselves.
Yes.
And I that softness in our heart to respond to the Lord that David spoke about, glorious, really, about the Lord speaking. I know that it's not been the quietness around me that's made any difference whatsoever. Mm-hmm. In fact, if we wait till the pin drops, we've actually run out of time, because that's the point at which the candle's burnt down and the pin has fallen out of it. There's no activity. So one thing that I am aware of is that I've missed the Lord's call. I missed a prophecy once that I should have heard. And that was due to my embarrassment of going up in front of a new relative, a sister-in-law, on the subject of the calling. So there's an example of not, of being, as David put it, stuck in my blessings and not going quickly enough to open the door. And I had to repent as much as possible. And secondly, when I was very angry, So the noise was within me, and yet thankfully, I'm always thankful to the Lord, I did respond. Yeah. So it can be very noisy, and it's not necessarily a case, or it might be, because of course life is complicated, isn't it? And we know that the Lord might call us into quietness, but I'm just a little bit scared of recipe. It's the noise that we create, and that picture I thought of David's was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks, Jeremy. That's really helpful. The quietness within, which can be a challenge to if our mind is whirling with our to-do list or with just anxiety. You know, there'd be some things that are issues for us and are concerning. We can just allow those things to whirl around, and then therefore there's a storm going on in here which doesn't permit me to be able to hear.
I think it's more a matter of will.
Thanks, Jeremy. Okay, Fiona, sorry, I know your hand was up before. I assumed that that was just carried on from before, but perhaps you had a second point you wanted to make.
No, there wasn't. Thank you, Barry.
Okay, no problem. Okay, just keeping one eye on the time. Just one thing I wanted to... Oh, Len, go ahead.
Following on our initial waiting on the Lord, we had Elizabeth speak, but did anybody else have anything? Because we've spoken a lot about what Elizabeth said, which was very interesting, and we've talked about that, but nobody, did anybody else have anything?
Good point. Anyone else?
I just had a song, King of Kings, Majesty. You can look it up.
Yes.
That was what happened for me, that song. And it's quite long. So.
Mm-hmm. Lovely. Thank you, Linda.
God of Heaven living in me is the second line.
Yes. Amen. Fiona.
I was asking the Lord for a word, and right at the beginning I was drawn to by a song, Isaiah 43. And the whole of the chapter is quite something, but I'm just turning to it now. Here we are. It's about Israel, but I think it can also be pertinent to those of us who are hoping and waiting. But now, says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not be in awe, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I shall be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, neither will the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your deliverer. And he goes on to talk about other things, but I just think that when we realize how much the Lord has done for us, how much he values us and loves us and cares for us in every eventuality. But he knows us because he's called us by name and we are his. We can, it's a platform for rejoicing. It's like a springboard as you jump into the swimming pool. Do you know what I mean? It's your launch pad, because when you see that and you realise more and more how much he's done for you and how he sees us. And, you know, it's the same in the garden, you know, with my beloved.
it's the same message.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? It's the same thing. How precious are you to me?
Mm.
You know, if we realize that more and more, we'd rest in that.
Mm.
And we'd be more attentive for hearing his voice, because we want to hear it. It's not about telling us off.
Yes,
he does discipline us.
Mm.
But it's out of his love and his care for us and wanting our good. And if we can adjust our way of looking at things, of thinking about things, about who he is. He's not a God who's coming with a big stick to beat us every 5 minutes, which is so often what we get, you know, in our theology and stuff. You know, it's a love relationship.
Mm.
And it's not a gooey thing. It's everything encompassing. Mm. It doesn't matter what you're going through. I'm with you.
Mm.
I'm going to rescue you from this because you're precious to me. And it goes on to say about having given Egypt as a ransom and Cush and Seba, you know, and he talks about how costly that thing is, that we are redeemed.
Mm.
And it's just marvelous when we think about it.
Yes, thank you, Fiona. Yes. Really helpful. Just as you were saying that, just the thought was coming to me of he wants us more than we want him. And if we can really grasp that, I think it will turn the self-reliance around on its head. Because if you're anything like me, I put so much emphasis on me, my ability to hear him, my ability to hear him speak. And when you realize that he wants the relationship more than we do, then you can realize that he will initiate. You don't have to twist his arm up his back to get him to speak. We don't have to push him into a corner with our constant prayers to get him to speak to us. He is initiating. He's coming. But are we listening is the question, or are we just distracted elsewhere with our good intentions and with our Christianity? We could even just be distracted, but are we listening? Are we waiting, anticipating his coming to us? Well,
Luther said, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, it's laying hold of his generosity.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, David, for that. Just before I pass over to Elizabeth, there was one phrase in what Elizabeth brought to us, which we haven't really spoken about, which is my voice is a voice of clarity and purpose. So to my mind, that means when he speaks, it's clear. It's very clear what he's spoken, and it's come for a very good purpose or reason. And I feel that the Lord has perhaps done that tonight. Personally speaking, I'll allow you to speak for yourself, but I feel there's something very clear to come for me, and it's come for a purpose. So thank you, Lord. Okay, Elizabeth first, and then we'll go to Christine.
Yeah, I was just wanted to read that again, that verse 19, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Mm. So be earnest and repent.
Yeah.
And it's just following up from what Fiona was saying, really, that it's because he loves us.
Mm.
And it's us knowing that he loves us, so that we're willing to come under his discipline.
Mm.
So we're willing to hear what he says, because we're confident in that love, and because we want to love him by being obedient.
Yes.
And it's a serious thing, you know, this the church to Laodicea, and I think it's quite evocative of much of the Western church. And he wants us to be overcomers.
Mm.
And we have to go through that process of repenting so that we can enter in. Because unless we repent, we can't really enter in, can we? You know?
And he can't enter in either.
Sounds like from verse
40.
Yeah. So, and, you know, he wants us to be with him overcoming so that we can be with him.
Yes, forever.
Forever. Mm. And to be part of this eternal kingdom and the rewards of it.
Yeah. Yes, thank you for that, Elizabeth. It's just struck me again just how much is at stake here, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, he's calling to us because he wants us not just today and tomorrow and next week, for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't respond, if we remain like these Laodiceans, you know, lukewarm, and let's face it, we can all be lukewarm at times. You know, if we remain in that state, then we could be lost. If we're not, I know this might be treading some people's corns, but if we don't overcome, it's quite clear here for me, is if you don't overcome, there's going to be an issue.
Mm.
So there's a lot at stake, and he wants us, you know, he's calling us. You know, there's time, you've got a certain amount of time to respond.
Yeah.
If you don't, I don't want to lose you. You know, I think I'm just starting to get the gravity of this from his point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But it does require a response. If you go a couple of Psalms further on, Psalm 29 speaks about the voice of the Lord. I remember speaking on this many years ago. I mean, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars, shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord is so powerful. And I remember getting to the end of the message, and I got a question at the end of the message. How will you know if you've actually heard the voice of the Lord? How will we know tonight if we've actually heard the voice of the Lord speaking to us? And as I voiced that question, the Lord gave me the answer. You will be different. You will be changed.
Mm-hmm.
You will go away from this meeting different to the way you started it if you really heard the voice of the Lord. And we've got to be prepared to be changed. I've got to be prepared to be changed and to be different.
Amen. Thanks, David. I've noticed the time's gone. So, folks, if you do need to go, please feel free to go. I'm just going to keep going for a few more minutes because there's a few more people who want to speak and I want to give them a chance to do so. But if you need to go, please feel free. Christine.
Well, something that I was listening to today, it was the story of a Jewish man, a young Jewish man who had been into all sorts of stuff, and God was clearly drawing him to him over a long period of time. And he said, and it was so beautiful to hear, he said, when I opened that door, Yeshua just burst into my life.
Amen.
And that ties in a bit with what I was thinking of today, thinking of what we were doing tonight, but on a totally different sort of area level to where the rest of it's gone tonight. When we invite Jesus in and he comes in to dine with us, he wants to be involved. He doesn't want to be sat on the comfortable seat while we scurry around in the kitchen. He wants to come and help chop vegetables. He wants to come and stir whatever it is so it doesn't stick. He wants to be part of the everyday everything in our lives. And as I know, I can be very independent and say, no, you just sit there, I'll do it. And he wants to be involved in the nitty-gritty of our day, all aspects of it. He doesn't want to be sat on one side.
Thanks, Christine. It's just, as you were speaking, just remind me of the story of Mary and Martha, you know, because I think it's very interesting. What struck me here was in that verse, it says, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. Mm. It's not like he's coming in and saying, I'm going to sit here and you need to run off and do this, that and the other. He wants to sit with us,
mm.
you know, and sit and talk.
Yes.
as all the things you do over a dinner table, you know, all those things. He doesn't want you to be scurrying around, you know, preparing the like Martha, you know, preparing everything for him and serving. You know, yes, we're servants, but there's a time when he wants us to come in and just sit.
Who prepares the table? Psalm 23. Who prepares the table?
He does.
He does.
Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. Thank you for that, Kristen. Thank you. Nigel, did you want to say something?
Well, I was going to say something to strengthen David's point, but I think he made it perfectly strongly for himself. And I think Christine's point is a good one to end on, really. So I don't want to go back to David's point, really. I think it's a lovely point to end on what Christine has said.
Thanks, brother. Okay, well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, is all I can say for the discussions tonight, for the Lord speaking. He's spoken to me. I hope he's spoken to you all. If he has, then I trust that you will respond in whatever way he is speaking to you. And as David says, that we go home, we switch off, something changes. You know, the Lord is with us to change us into his likeness. And I just praise him how he is so gentle, so loving, and so eager. If there's something that's come through to me tonight, it's his eagerness to be with us. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Amen.
Well, if you would like to stay and pray, I do want to give you the opportunity, but I appreciate that we have gone over. So if you do need to go, shalom, and thank you for participating tonight. And Lord willing, we'll be back same time, same place next week.
Shalom. Thank you, Barry.
Thanks, Nigel.